A word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for this Christmas Eve turning into Christmas Day, and we do ask that you speak to us now through our Bible readings as we reflect upon them. Amen. Amen. Please do be seated. A couple of weeks ago, my family sat down to watch the old Disney film, The Incredible Journey. Quite old now, I think it goes back to 1963. Don't know if you remember it, but it's a lovely story about how three animals are motivated to journey some 200 miles or thereabouts. There's two dogs and a cat, and they travel through the Canadian wilderness for that distance to find their owners. Of course, they face many dangers on their way, but their motivation drives them forward. I wonder, what would motivate you to embark on a long journey? And I don't mean a comfortable journey like on a cruise ship, not even a relatively uncomfortable one such as we've been hearing about over the last 24 hours. Some stories of people being stuck on trains for 6 to 9 hours because of the weather. People waiting around in airports for delayed flights. Now, I don't mean a relatively uncomfortable one. I mean a really uncomfortable journey. In fact, even a dangerous journey. Have you ever ridden on a camel? They're uncomfortable beasts at the best of times, even just for 30 minutes. But what would motivate you to sit on one day after day after day in the hot sun, with no shelter from the wind and rain when that comes, with only a makeshift tent to sleep in at night, watery stew for your tea yet again? Weeks of uncomfortable journeying to an unknown land. What would motivate you to do something like that? Well, this evening we meet a bunch of chaps who go through all of that. People described as magi or wise men. And not only do these men put themselves through a most uncomfortable journey, they then risk entry into a foreign land ruled by a volatile king, a ruthless king, King Herod. Such is their motivation. So what is it that motivates them? Well, they believe that a newborn king has arrived and they've come to worship him. They've come to pledge their allegiance to him. What's so great, though, about this baby? What does he have that inspires these men to go through all of this? I think it's the sort of motivation that is drawn from a deep well of hope, a deep well of hope. These men are full of hope that this newborn king is the answer to humanity's problems. And when we look around the world today, it's obvious that humanity faces many problems. War in Syria, a huge refugee problem. Still we have the threat of terrorism, hunger, poverty, environmental destruction, injustice, slavery, child abuse, bullying, lies and extortion, theft and burglary. I could go on and on. These problems facing the human race, though, are not new, and it was out of hope that there might be an answer that the wise men travelled so far. We can see that hope expressed in our first Bible reading this evening, which came from a book in the Old Testament part of the Bible, the prophet Micah. This guy Micah lived in troubled times. It was a time of corrupt government. There was a breakdown in morality. But Micah's book is not all doom and gloom. No, it holds out this inspiring message of hope that change is on its way. Change not just for that one country of Judah, but for the whole world. Now that is the sort of hope that inspires people to ride on a camel for 1,000 miles. Let's just take a moment to hear again what is being promised. It starts off like this. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small, i.e. insignificant, among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. What is quite surprising is that according to God's promise given through Micah, this hope comes out of an unexpected, insignificant little town called Bethlehem. It's like the next president of the United States coming from Elmswell. I don't think many people in America will have heard of Elmswell. But one would have expected this king here to be born in a famous place, born in a palace, into a well-to-do family. But no, he is born in poverty and humility, in Bethlehem, in a small town of no importance. It's so unimportant they have to verify its name by saying Bethlehem Ephrathah. And yet this is the one who the wise men have come to worship. So what makes this baby so special then? Why is he different to any other baby born in poverty and squalor? Well, listen to how the promise in Micah continues. It says that this ruler's origins are of old, from ancient times. So this newborn king isn't just, he's not your typical baby. No, he has ancient origins. He is both infant and ancient at the same time. Both infant and ancient. Well, how can that be? Other parts of the Bible help us. They give us the answer. They explain how this little baby, born in obscurity, is actually God himself. And you know, every Christmas I never cease to be amazed at the wonder of this. I mean, picture in your mind the manger scene. We actually have one here. It doesn't take too much to picture it. There's the animals making it all rather smelly. There's the shepherds, Mary and Joseph. And in the centre we have the newborn Jesus. And it's a helpless little baby lying there in a grotty trough, normally used for feeding animals. And yet at the same time, that little bundle holds the ancient creator of all that exists. The one who created the sea and the sky, the mountains, the trees and the birds. The one who threw stars into space is there. The one who made you and I has himself been born as a baby. Well, wouldn't that inspire you to travel for endless miles across the desert to meet our Creator? And the promise gets even better in verses 4 and 5. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Do you remember those Miss World competitions, particularly popular back in the 70s? And the winners always seem to say, I want to use my role to work for world peace. I guess it was quite sweet, but in a very naive sort of way. As if those girls had any sort of authority or real power to bring about world peace. But contrast that to the promise made here. This newborn king will make a real difference to the world. Micah describes him as one who rules in the strength of the Lord and in his majesty. So this is one person who does have the power and the authority to bring security and peace right to the ends of the earth. Because he comes with the authority and power of God himself. It's a shame that so many people fight against this good king and his task to bring peace and security to the world. We see it in Herod, don't we? Herod, paranoid and scared out of his wits that he might lose his position. Herod, you know, wiped out any person he saw as a threat to his throne. The Roman emperor at the time, Caesar Augustus, even commented once that it was safer to be Herod's pig than to be his son, because he did actually kill his son. But Herod, as we know, was fighting a losing battle, because you cannot stop God bringing about his good kingdom. And that's the message of Christmas. In Jesus Christ, the Creator God has become a human being, identifying with the poor, the needy, the simple. God has sent his Son into the world to bring peace and forgiveness. Herod could not stop him. And today the powers of political correctness cannot stop him. They often try, but you cannot stop God bringing about his good kingdom. And sometimes wicked people, yes, they will even infiltrate the church. We've seen that a lot in the news. And they will abuse others. But even those evildoers cannot stop God bringing about his good kingdom. The greatest act of rebellion was headed up by religious people. That greatest act of rebellion against God happened when Jesus was in his 30s. He was arrested and put on trial. He was beaten up and then executed. At that moment, it must have looked as though God's kingdom was failing. But it was not. It was through the death of Jesus that God establishes his kingdom. And with God's kingdom comes a peace that's now started to grow and will eventually cover the planet with just government, the end of oppression, the end of brutality, the end of molestation, the end of abuse. We'll see that most fully when Jesus Christ returns, but it's happening already. Some people may try to pretend that the kingdom of Jesus Christ is not being established. And some people may try to resist it. But Herod found that God's kingdom couldn't be thwarted. No, Jesus Christ is here to stay. So shouldn't we be more like those wise men who realised that something special was happening in the birth of Jesus? That is what this promise of Christmas is all about. And I hope it's a message that will motivate you, like the wise men, to come and worship him. Or at the very least, to examine the claims of Jesus Christ a little more closely. Think about it. If it was enough to make the wise men travel all those miles on uncomfortable camels, surely it's worth us being motivated to look at God's King and what he promises in a little more detail. Perhaps you've never done that. And if that is the case, I invite you just to take one of these Gospels, a short account of the life of Jesus. I have a few at the back. Please do take one as you leave if you want to find out a bit more. And don't just bung it with all the other Christmas clobber. Spend some time reading it. Let me also just briefly mention the series we're running here at St. John's After Christmas. It's detailed on these rather attractive pink service cards at the back. But in our 10:30 morning services after Christmas, we're going to be looking at some of those difficult questions that lie at the heart of the Christian faith. Such as, can I trust the New Testament? Why did Jesus die? How do I pray? Why suffering? What is life like after death? The whole series is called I'm Glad You Asked That. As I say, details are on our website and on this pink service card. But the wise men were motivated to travel long and far, driven by hope and a desire for something better. Well, you know, we don't have to travel far. I know the path is a bit muddy at this time of year. But why not come along to I'm Glad You Asked That? You may just find some important answers. But as I close, may I wish you all a very happy Christmas. Let me say a prayer. So Father, we do thank you that in Jesus you came into the world to begin to sort out the problems, to establish your kingdom of peace. One day, Lord, you will return to finish that work. But in the meantime, your kingdom is growing. This Christmas, may we be part of that kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.